The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined in studio by Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC, because we're going to hear about an innovation which could make our driving home in the dark a lot safer. Conor, what have you got?
Yeah, well, it's a really clever idea. There's an Irish company behind it, and there's a trial going on in Sligo. And essentially, it's using luminous paint with modern technology. Now, you might have seen luminous paint before,
yeah.
You know, associated with child's toys of the 70s and 80s and, you know, great for half an hour and, you know, a week later, it's not worth a damn. But with modern technology and the powder mix they can put into the paint, it does seem to be a lot more durable, to the point where we might be able to use it for road safety markings. And that's what's potentially a brilliant idea, because if you consider a dark junction somewhere in rural Ireland, you know, do you want to illuminate that? Okay, you've got to run electricity to it, you've got to dig a trench, you've got to do this, that and the other. The cost is really significant. Whereas if you can use this luminous paint, you know, potentially it could be really, really helpful it works.
We have at the moment light reflective paint,
yeah,
which means when your headlights hit a particular white line, it may jump out at you.
Mm.
But if you don't have good headlights, that's no good to you.
Yeah, if you're a pedestrian, for example, and say if you don't have good headlights, and plus you can't really, or certainly we haven't, properly decorated every junction in Ireland. We just have far too many of them. Mm. And the cost of some of these ultra-high visibility paints can be quite severe. But if you imagine that dark junction where you can put up additional signage, road markings, etc., and it just will softly glow green in the dark, that's potentially very helpful.
So the technology here is that you have some sort of material that you add to the paint, which during the day will absorb the sunlight.
Yeah, phosphates apparently, and they have them in powder form and things like zinc sulfide and other stuff that, you know, people far smarter than me will know how they work. But essentially what they do is they absorb light. When light hits them, they absorb the photons and then they will release them slowly over a period of time. And what that means is they'll say these days that even ambient light will do it. I mean, there was a time where...
Had to be sunshine.
You know, it was only ever worked when you didn't need it. But the quality of the paints is such now that even ambient light during the day will, so to speak, or figuratively speaking, charge them up, and you'll get this soft green glow that you can quite clearly see in the darkness.
And it's being tested at the moment.
Well, it's being tested in three places. One is in Sligo, and it's actually in O'Boyle Park in Sligo, which is a public park and brilliant. And actually, I think that's one of the areas where it's got great potential, on the cycle track in the park in the dark, having been on one and nearly just rolled off it because you couldn't see a blessed thing.
Sure.
The glowing lights would be great. They're also testing it in the Netherlands and in New South Wales in Australia. That's in the last 6 months. The Aussies are delighted with it. They think they're going to roll it out. It seems to have improved things. The Dutch less so. They said that the paint did seem to decay after a period of months. And I guess if you imagine when it's imperfect, it might be less than good.
The cost of doing it, if it doesn't deliver.
If you have to
do it again very quickly thereafter. The one issue that I think about would be that you're depending on the energy from daylight to give you this glowing in the dark.
Yeah.
In the winter, the days are short. Daylight in short supply, and nights are long.
And what daylight there is coming obliquely through cloud, and it's just not. Now, I guess it's a similar conversation about photovoltaic, your general photo technology,
whatever,
the stuff on your roof, where they'll promise you now that ambient light is good enough. You know, I think let's see it get through a couple of winters in Sligo and whether it's still easy. In fact,
I'm very interested to see and follow up on that particular experiment. Now, you have a file at home with wacky ideas.
My
from
nutty
people.
Professor file. Yeah. This is when I was in the AA, and all sorts of people would contact you with ideas that they think is going to be the next best thing, and they're looking for backing on it. And sometimes, you know, they're reasonably clever, or sometimes you have to think it through proportionately. So, for example, if somebody says, I have this great idea which involves fitting crash barriers on every road in Ireland, and you think, okay, you do know they're 200 quid a metre. You'll have gone through three children's hospitals by the time you finish this project. How many lives would you actually save? I had a guy contact me once, was convinced it was the next big thing. A panel that you put on the rear windscreen, you can type a message from the driver's seat and it will be displayed to the car behind you. Back off, don't annoy me. And people honestly think that these will be helpful. But sometimes you get the odd brilliant idea. And my favourite brilliant idea, which kind of did change the world, is an old one. A guy called Percy Shaw, I think you're aware of this story, Pat.
Yeah.
The guy who invented cat's eyes. And this is back in 1930s England. And he was, he was a miner, I think, or a labourer in Halifax. And he was struck by the eyes of a cat at night. And he invented the cat's eye, which has two brilliant innovations to it. One is the parabolic lens always reflects light back towards the source. And the other thing is that in its rubber casing, it gets washed naturally by the rain and when a wheel rolls over it. So it
catches
itself.
Water in a little reservoir in the cat's eye.
In front of the lens.
And then when my wheel goes over the cat's eye, it pushes it down, gives it a wash.
And it's clean again. And that was the brilliant innovation that Percy Shaw did. And he patented it in the 1930s. And he made an absolute fortune. And a fascinating guy. He did an interview with Alan Wicker about 30 years later. He never changed. Broad northern lad. His only two luxuries in life. He got four televisions. Four colour televisions, one for each TV station that was then available, and all his friends would come around and watch the cricket. And his only luxury was he bought a Rolls-Royce Silver Phantom because he always wanted one. And he lived out his days in peace and considerable prosperity without ever leaving Halifax.
And there are other kind of things that you've come across, Connor, which I find interesting but not expensive. For example, a place where there were a lot of motorcycle accidents.
Yeah, this is Tyrol in Austria, which is, you know, high alpine roads. If you've been up there, it's absolutely beautiful. And of course, bikers love it. But the nature of those roads, there are some blind bends and dark bends. So they used some of this luminous paint. They considered bend treatment just to make it visually more striking to the cyclist and or to the motorcyclist. And they reckoned in a study afterwards that they may have prevented 19 fatal or near fatal crashes with what is a really low cost intervention. So they're very excited about it. In particular places, in a high alpine road at night, you can picture that.
And you know, when you're driving along some motorways, you'll have chevrons. In fact, you can have them in the tunnel, the port tunnel.
Yeah.
They keep two chevrons away from the vehicle in front or whatever it might be. Does that actually work?
It can work if obeyed. But what really makes it work in the port tunnel is that you have an average speed camera. So that's what really controls behaviour. But it's a clever idea. This one was British and you lay them out on the motorway. And as long as you keep two chevrons between you and the car in front, you're keeping the appropriate distance. Now, ordinary driver discipline should do that anyway. And again, we've 6,000 kilometres of motorway. That's a lot of white paint for chevrons. And, you know, if you were to spend that on guard overtime, would you save more lives? So all of these things kind of have to be weighed up. But the chevron idea was one of the clever ones for sure.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, consultant to the RIAC, thank you very much for joining us. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.